Hello, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Jenny Sawyer. And with me today is Christian Science practitioner and teacher Dave Holy from Chicago, Illinois. Thanks for being here, Dave.
Thanks, Jenny. Thanks for having me.
Well, I don't know about you, Dave, but it seems like a lot of us are thinking about the same thing these days, safety. And whether that's safety from a violent attack or staying safe during a continuing pandemic, there's this underlying desire for security and I think for reassurance that the people we love will be protected. And even though a lot of us are staying home right now, that's not the long-term or ultimate answer. So where can we begin in terms of approaching this topic of safety differently and spiritually?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jenny. Yeah, I agree that seems to be a big issue in my work. A lot of people have been, you know, just kind of afraid. And there's a lot of uncertainty and so forth. But the way I think about it is that safety is kind of our natural state. It's kind of the natural God-given nature of our lives is to be safe wherever we are. And I've been in situations that have seemed sort of out of my direct control, and I've actually had to rely on that God-given safety that travels with each one, regardless of where they happen to be. So safety is not a proximity-related issue. It travels with us.
Well, that is a hugely different perspective than I think most of us are used to kind of encountering when it comes to safety. I mean, so often I think that it seems like it's all based on external circumstances. So maybe we can just unpack a little further. When you say safety travels with us and it's God-given, how does that work? What's the basis for that?
Well, first of all, there are a lot of threats. There are a lot of physical threats around. There are extremes of all kinds that seem to be threatening our own well-being, the well-being of our country, the well-being of our world. There's this pandemic, there's political violence, economic hardship, even the weather. And so it is worth, I think, taking another look, maybe a larger view or a more spiritual view as to what is reality. Because the Bible says about God that the wind is in his fists. So the actual power in any situation is divine power. And God is good, only good. And therefore, everything proceeding out of the mouth of God or out of the divine intelligence is good, and it's safe, and it leads us toward goodness. And we're spiritual ideas of God. And if we can yield to that, kind of realize it, and I actually would say it's not only an opportunity that we can do that, but I think it's becoming kind of a demand that we take a moment and reassess, and taking a look at all of these factors that seem so threatening, to step away from that and say, but what is divine mind or divine love know about this situation? You know, there's that little verse in Isaiah about the peaceable kingdom where the wolf lies down with the lamb and the kid lies with the leopard, and it's a very sweet, peaceful thing. And you know, the end of that little verse from Isaiah says, and a little child shall lead them. So what that suggests to me is that it's the innocent thought that will carry us forward. Jesus said, you know, this little child is the way forward. And what is it about the child? It's not that he's little or young. It's that there's innocence there, that there's trust there, that he understands that God is good and his life is safe. And that kind of goes right up against the entire mortal, you know, dog-eat-dog, survival of the fittest, the mortal laws associated with it.
I love that, Dave. And let's talk a little bit more about this understanding of God, because I know that in my own practice of Christian Science, that's really been the core understanding that's helped me in situations where I feel under some kind of threat, whether it's, you know, the threat of disease or the threat of, you know, just sort of something going wrong in my day-to-day life. So what is it from your practice of Christian Science that you've come to understand about God that you found to be most helpful on this topic of safety?
Actually, that we're not subject to mortal law because we are, in fact, completely spiritual. We're spiritual ideas and we are subject and obedient to the divine law. which is completely safe at all times. And that the nature of God as completely present, always present, and all-powerful. And I remember when I was a little kid, I was a, you know, like a little, maybe four-year-old, five-year-old, and my mom told me that if I ever got into real trouble, I could reach out to God and God would help me. And I didn't really think much of it, but I thought, well, that's a nice thing, I suppose. But it wasn't long after that, I had climbed up on this dresser. I used to share a room with my older brother, and I threw a pillow up there, and I climbed up on this dresser, and I was going to call my brother into the room and then just kind of come down on him from above, unsuspecting, with this pillow. But what happened was I fell, and I fell backwards. And suddenly, I was midair, kind of looking at the ceiling as I was falling. And that was, of course, very, very disconcerting. But I remembered in that sort of moment, midair, I remembered what my mom told me, that I could reach out to God if I ever got into a real jam. And I thought, this is that. And I did that. And I said, God, you got to help me. And an idea came to me to interlock my fingers and put my hands behind my head. So as I was falling, I now have my hands behind my head, and I came into contact with a doorknob. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know there was a doorknob there, but there it was, and I caught it in my hands, and then my feet came down flat on the floor, and the whole thing was over. The whole little terrifying episode was over. So I guess I came up with that fairly early on, that God is present and so powerful that God will give an actionable idea to a four-year-old midair. That's kind of my sense of the omnipresence of God. And so even in the midst of the biggest threats, and I've faced a few, and I'm sure we all have, things come up. And before you know it, you're in a situation that you hadn't expected. And in that situation, there's divine love. There's divine mind. And it is present. And it is the law of the situation if we appeal to it. We're not subject to the mortal law or Murphy's law or some other law. The divine law is quietly in force, in operation at all times.
Let's talk a little bit about that idea of law, Dave, because I think that that's a concept that's pretty unique to Christian Science, that there is an actual spiritual law of good, of harmony, of safety in operation, and that we can see the practical effects in our lives. We can sort of appeal to that law or recognize its operation and feel the effects. Can you just share a little bit more about your understanding of that?
Yeah, you might think that God does occasional miracles. But in Science and Health, which is a book written by Mary Baker Eddy, 150 years ago, let's say, about spiritual life, about understanding God, about the practical application of these laws, these spiritual laws. And in that book, it defines miracle as that which is divinely natural, but must be learned humanly. And so each one of us has the opportunity to understand the nature of this. So what is God? Science and Health, again, defines God as truth, life, love, principle, mind, soul, and spirit. And so if something is loving, like in the Bible it says, it's first peaceable, then gentle, easy to be entreated. If something is loving, then that's the expression of God. And because it's a synonym, it's also intelligent. It's also principled. So there's a kind of a web of consistency through all of this, and it is reliable, and you can depend upon it as law. You can allow that law to operate in your life or my life.
Yeah, and I think that example you gave of what happened when you were 4 or 5 years old is such a great example of that. You didn't know that you were appealing to a spiritual law, but that spiritual law was in operation. And I think when your thoughts sort of turned in that direction and you were open to it, then you saw it operate on your behalf.
God is good. And to understand that first and foremost, and that God is always present. So that means good is always present. And we can look for it and find it and let it emerge in our lives as it did in that little moment. You know, I'm not sure I ever mentioned that to my mom, that I had that little episode, but I've always been grateful to her for pointing out to me. You know, I think she saw that I was starting to broaden my sphere, and I think she noticed that this guy, it might get into some stuff, and I'm not going to be there. And he needs to understand the nature of life, the nature of good that is present with him. So she just told me.
Yeah, and getting to your point about kind of how these laws operate, you know, one of the things that I've always loved when I've read Science and Health along with the Bible is just this sense of the reality of God's creation, that peaceable kingdom, that kingdom of heaven that Jesus spoke about, that truly is where we all, as the Bible says, live and move and have our being, that we are already in this place of protection, safety, love, the intelligent operation of good law. And it's not like we're sort of trying to get ourselves there, but it's more that we're recognizing the fact that's the only place where we can be.
That actually, to me, is maybe the crux of the whole thing, is this is already true. It's already true. I think it's in the very first few pages of Science and Health. There's this beautiful little statement that there's a divine influence ever present in human consciousness and repeating itself. And to me, a divine influence is that divine mind influencing us toward progress, toward harmony, toward health, toward goodness, toward love. So it's present. This divine influence is already present. And I guess if there's something that we need to do is to become more aware of it or expectant that it is there, listen for it, I suppose, and then apply it when you do hear it. Because if this divine influence is ever present and repeating itself, that may mean that we have missed a few. But we don't need to, and we can kind of become more consistent in our listening, in our hearing, in our discerning what is true. And once again, go back to those synonyms for what is God. God is truth, life, love, principle, mind, soul, spirit. So if something is true, we want to look for truth because that's God. That's where God is.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that has always inspired me about what Mary Baker Eddy saw in terms of the potential of that kind of thinking is that it doesn't just kind of help us out where we are, but it can help the whole world. And I know when we were chatting, Dave, you had that great passage you'd found in Science and Health about the potential for all of us to help hold crime in check. Maybe you want to share that particular passage.
Yeah, right now, maybe more than sometimes. Now is an opportunity and a demand, I think, for us to think differently or think clearly or think spiritually. And this is the statement. It's begins on page 96 of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. She says this, "During this final conflict, wicked minds will endeavor to find means by which to accomplish more evil. But those who discern Christian Science will hold crime in check. They will aid in the ejection of error. They will maintain law and order and cheerfully await the certainty of ultimate perfection." That kind of gets us to another point about the law of God, which is this law of progress. There's a law of harmony and a law of progress. These are the way life really works. And so we can cheerfully await the certainty of ultimate perfection. And while we're waiting, we are standing with those laws, expecting them to be recognized and be realized. But I think we got to remind ourselves to be wise. Like the other day, just watching the activity at the Capitol here in the United States, it was tempting to just kind of be bewildered by it and to be appalled. But what I think we have to remember is the law of God is in operation right there at all times. And I think that's what those who discern Christian Science kind of need to do that.
So let's talk about maybe specifically when we find ourselves in a situation where we're encountering lawlessness or something like that that just seems totally out of control. How do we, in that moment, how could we pray? How can we address that in a way that's effective?
First of all, I think I'd be a little bit patient with yourself because I think the human reaction might be to run or to fight. But I think we have the opportunity and the demand to think clearly, to think good, clean, strong, constructive thoughts rather than allow the terror to take over. You know, I know that we've talked about this in the past, but I had a situation one morning where I was just walking my dog peacefully, and the dog was at the end of one of these big, long extension leashes, and I was walking along the brow of this hill, kind of along the edge, and the dog was kind of off the edge in the weeds and in the sticks and romping around and having a good morning. Suddenly, I saw, and I know I saw it before the dog saw it, but I saw a coyote that had been sleeping there, I believe. And before I could move, I began to try to reel the dog in. But before I could do it, there was an attack. And I was backing out of there, and I kind of tripped and fell. And by the time I got to my feet again, there'd already been an attack on this dog. Mm. Now, I don't quite remember how I got between them. I managed to get between them. But I figured once I'm between them, it's over. But it wasn't over. The coyote was interested and unafraid and continued to move toward me. And this whole thing was pretty frightening to me, but I noticed that my voice continued to be pretty strong. And I began to talk to that animal. And I basically said, this is not going to go the way that you think it's going to go. There's a law here. We're all subject to that law. We're all protected by that law. We're all obedient to it. It's a law of life, all three of us. And I kept talking, and eventually this animal stopped. It was sort of stalking me, kind of slowly moving toward me. Mm. And it stopped, and then it laid down. Mm. And then the dog and I left. Now, that's not something you plan for. That's not so, and it's not something you can really run from. Mm-hmm. You got to stand and face it. And so I did. And it's not me that's doing that. This is divine love. This is divine principle in operation. And that principle overrules that law of dog eat dog.
Yeah, that's a powerful example. And, you know, as we're talking, one of the things that's coming to mind is the fact that I think safety can be expressed in any number of ways. You know, we can experience it like you did in the middle of an attack where you're facing something down, or it could be that the answer is to get out of there, or you kind of have advance warning. And this is such a small example, but one of the things that came to mind as you were talking was a time when I was walking in a really busy part of Boston and lots of like blind corners, and you know, Boston streets are, everybody knows they're renowned for being kind of tricky with cars whipping in every direction. And I was just about to step off the curb, again, sort of right around the corner from this very blind turn. And it wasn't a voice, it wasn't in words, it was just this feeling to stay on the sidewalk. And right at that moment, a taxi cab came whipping around the corner. And, you know, had I stepped off, I would have been hit by it. So I think that there's sort of no one-size-fits-all approach to safety.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that here before we wrap up, because are we oblivious to the human situation? Are we oblivious to the human threat? The answer is no. We're constantly listening, and we're doing what is wise. Why? Because mind is a synonym for God, and we operate with intelligence. No fear, but with intelligence and wisdom. And so do I kind of ignore what's going on around me? Absolutely not. But do I proceed to do that which I believe I'm being led to do? Yeah, with some level of modesty and trying to listen every step of the way. Like Bible says, you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, I don't think that really means fear, but I do think it means with care and listening, as you did at that moment.
Before we wrap, Dave, just on that note of fear, I wonder if we could talk just very briefly about how we can all be praying about the fear in the world today, whether it's fear that we're specifically feeling, again, with regard to violence or the pandemic or something else, or fear that we just feel in the world.
Yeah, that would be good to touch on that a little, because Bible says there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. So once again, if we can get close to God who is love, the less fear will demand of us.
Mm.
I used to sort of think that wisdom and fear might lead me to the same conclusion, like I'm not going to jump off a cliff because it's unwise and because I'm afraid to do it. So both of those would lead me to the same conclusion. But you want to listen for wisdom. And fear clouds. It paralyzes, whereas love and the expression of love and the expectation that love is reflected in love, as it says in Science and Health, will lead us to do intelligent things. You know, somebody asked me one time, how do I ride a motorcycle safely? Mm. And my comment was, if I had to think of myself as a couple hundred pounds of flesh on top of 500 pounds of metal and rubber and stuff, I don't know how to protect that. But if I think of myself as an idea, a spiritual idea, operating intelligently and wisely through this universe, then I'm going to be completely safe every single step of the way. And so, again, fear of accident doesn't lead you to that.
Mm.
But understanding the true nature of life, it leads you to tremendous freedom and tremendous opportunity. Now, do I obey the laws on a motorcycle? Yes, I do. Do I do stupid things or dangerous things? No, I don't. Do I operate with intelligence and wisdom and safety? Yes. And do I have a great time? Yes.
Well, that's a great example and a great note to end on. Thank you so much, Dave. It's been wonderful to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Jenny.
I've been speaking with Christian Science practitioner and teacher Dave Holy from Chicago, Illinois. And thanks for tuning in to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.